All right, giddy up. We're right back at it. 24 hours later, Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz all with you for the next 2 hours. It just feels like 5 minutes ago we're talking about Mitch Marner.
And we sure did.
I got to tell you something. Quite the reaction out there.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's seems to be like a real sensitive discussion amongst Leaf Nation.
It does.
But did we take it to another level yesterday?
I think we may have given it a little bit of rocket fuel.
Because I got a few people saying, I get your point of view. And I got a few people telling me you're on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. I also was told that I am the dumbest person in the world and also that people agree. So
that's. And you're back on drugs.
Yes. And I. Yeah. So.
No.
None of that. So that's, you know, I think that's how you know that we found. We found the tipping point of that.
We found the topic of discussion.
Yeah.
This week.
That's the chat at the bar. That's for sure.
You know, I had been mentioning earlier in the season that no one had been talking about the Marner conversation. That we, you know, had been quiet.
It was quiet.
We made it unquiet, I think.
That's great.
We got the people going a little bit. I would say I got more messages about that segment of radio than my whole life doing this.
That was. And it can be quiet for a little while, but mm-hmm. It's not going anywhere.
No.
It's there, and it will remain there until either he signs or he walks out the door July 1st.
As you said in our conversation earlier today, that's not the last time we're going to talk about that.
No.
And this is what's perfect about it. This is why it's an incredible sports talk radio topic, because the end off of my poll yesterday with the three options of let's just sign him, let's see playoffs, let him walk, 45% for just sign him, 45% for let's see playoffs, 10% for let him walk.
Wow.
So it's like, all in balance. Like, mm-hmm. That's why there's people on both sides of it. It's the perfect debate, which I'm sure we'll have again.
Well, wherever you're watching and listening, we're glad you're aboard. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, or Sportsnet Plus. No Marner talk to start off, although we did. But the hottest topic right now, Austin Matthews, Elliot Friedman on Sportsnet.ca had the story. Sammy, you have
Skipper,
been very clear that you've not liked this from day one.
Yes.
No, sir.
And I think the news out there that he is in Germany, Munich, Germany, receiving treatment from a doctor he's worked with in the past is not making you feel real good right now.
Let's just listen to Brad Treliving's update on Austin Matthews. It's about a minute and 11 clip here, so bear with him, but this is the update on Austin Matthews from Brad Treliving.
Austin, an update on Austin. We haven't been trying to be cryptic with all this stuff. You know, we've been calling him day to day because that's what he's been. He has, you know, we've looked at the schedule here, and what we're trying to do is use this week to hopefully get this thing behind him. As part of that, he and our doc Foreman went over to Germany to see a doc that he's used in the past, more as a general checkup, but also to get some work done on his thing. It's not alarming. It was something we've been discussing, knowing that he's going to be getting this week. But we're hopeful that once we get through the week here, he'll be back up and skating, and his return to play would be after that. So, again, nothing new. There's been no setbacks. Everything's been actually going quite well. We're just trying to use the days that we've got here with less games being played to just try to get this behind us.
See, Sammy, there's nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Nothing.
Nothing.
What is this?
Go have a coffee, relax.
What is this?
Put your feet up.
What is this? What are we doing?
You tell me.
Why? Why? He's flying. He's taking an intercontinental flight, cross an ocean because it's all fine. Why are they lying to us? It's the most infuriating thing ever.
It's more of a general checkup.
Oh, it's a general checkup with Dr. Stem Cell? Like, what's going on here?
Everything's great.
This is just,
It's concerning.
It's now gone from day to day to flying to Germany. Stop lying.
It is.
Stop lying.
It is rather interesting that he left.
Say that again.
He left Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
Caught a commercial flight.
Is that right?
And this
off commercial flight? Really? And no one saw him?
And nothing till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Nothing. How did they get between Sunday morning and Tuesday when it came out?
I don't know how they pulled that off. You know, congratulations on that little bit of secrecy. But I would say that when there's not a human on your continent that can deal with the issue well enough, you're getting into real problems and concerns. The idea that it's someone he's seen before does make me think back. He's had back stuff before. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Whatever it is, let's assume it's a back.
Yeah.
It's spasms. It's not healing. It's not getting to the place that he needs to go. And maybe you go back to somewhere that might have helped you in the past. If that's Germany, that's Germany. Now, he was in Germany this summer, was he not, with Connor McDavid?
I don't know. Was he?
Not sure.
Were they on the ice together?
Yeah, I don't know if that was in Germany, was it?
I would say.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
The thing that, stands out to me is, let's say you're on a plane and all the, what are those, masks drop from up above. The thing, type of thing you hear is, nobody panic. It's okay. Everything's fine. Just, stay calm. That very much is the message here, where it feels like the masks have dropped and the team is nothing to see here. Everyone remain calm. It's going to be fine. I would say we are now at the point where it's weeks into it. You're going to Germany. We're getting into this could be a problem. This could be someone texts me, might have even been you. Do we have Austin Kucherov now? Can we dress this LTIR him and dress him in April? Maybe we can, trade for Crosby and get him, get Austin back for playoffs.
I think that the way that you've handled this, and it just feels like Austin's representation has like a pistol in the back of Brad Friedel being like, say it's fine, say it's fine, like say it's all fine. He's like, it is fine, it's fine. Like, it's just, if you had just been more forthright from the start that it's a longer term thing, that he's going to miss a little bit of while. But to have the coach go out in front of everybody and be like, it's a day-to-day thing. We'll see after the weekend. We'll see after the thing. And then...
But I do believe that that could be true.
I don't. Yeah. I don't believe it. And now I'm at the point where he's taken a 8-hour flight to go see somebody. I passed the point of believing it.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. And if it is a bad back or a stiff back, you can wake up eventually one day and it can be better.
Yeah.
So... I'm with you that
needs a new mattress.
When they say day to day, they wait for Austin to come to them and say it's no longer an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin didn't do that. So does it turn into something that can be alleviated with some treatment, muscle related, disc related?
Yeah.
Well,
that's the thing.
It can end up being something a lot more serious, a lot more severe, but they don't know. They don't know right now.
He is not a guy who doesn't want to play. You look at his games played over the years, he wants to play. And so the concern, I agree, Kip, is that, you talk about discs and all this kind of stuff, that it isn't getting better, and we don't know. We're just, throwing stuff at the wall here, but that it isn't getting better. You're going to see someone who apparently can do something that can't be done here, so all of a sudden it's, that's why I would say this has been elevated. Oh. But they did set a pretty close deadline for when they expect him to skate and play. So we're going to very quickly have an answer for just how serious this is.
Yeah, they mentioned the potential of Sunday. And it's, flight to Germany to see a specialist and playing Sunday don't seem to be in the same conversation.
No, that is very strange to me. Very strange.
you know,
go to see a specialist. Might play.
He said maybe Sunday, and then maybe we'll look at the weekend against the Panthers or whatever.
I'd say it's highly unlikely.
I bet
as well.
Anything he's not playing Sunday.
No,
there's no chance he's playing Sunday.
No. So,
and if he is, then hey, I mean,
good on the doctor.
Whatever magic he's right? got. Can he go see Ovi's doctor? That guy can.
Yeah. Forget that. Like, three of us should get over there.
Yeah.
I could use some straightening out.
No kidding.
I think it's going to build up another interesting conversation. And I don't know if you guys have thought of this, but there is what both of you guys sort of think is a meaningless hockey tournament in the middle of this hockey season. Mm. The Four Nations Face-Off, which he is the face of probably the favorite team in the tournament. And it's like, what sort of impact is this going to have where he desperately wants to play in that probably? There hasn't been the best-on-best thing. The Leafs, you know, you're flying to Germany, you're missing a month of the season, you've got a whatever issue that's clearly serious enough for this.
Well, let's just say right now, that spot's in jeopardy.
For sure. How can it not be? Like, if he's fighting through something and then goes and plays there, Leaf fans are going to be livid.
We have had livid years, and
well,
I think
not good.
We all sat here at the end of last season watching the chase for 70 goals. Let's not mince words. He played his heart out those last two games of the year, which were not all that meaningful trying to get 70.
That was some of my least favorite moments Leaf fandom ever.
Watching the boards
games.
On that
yes.
one play. You know, my point, Kip, is that Leafs fans don't want to see the pursuit of something else that doesn't matter get in the way of what is supposed to be the greater goal here for this team.
And we have arguably the biggest Leaf fan ever in the history of Leafs. You.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I mean, I'm up there.
Okay, you're up there.
I'm in the top
and you're
million,
telling
for
me.
Sure.
His 69 goals was one of your least favorite moments.
The chase.
The chase was
How
a joke.
Sad is that?
Well, it was the way it was handled. It was a joke.
I think, you know, for someone who pays as close attention as all of us, you know, we know that playoffs were all that mattered. And that's kind of was the vibe at the time. And
so I think it's going to be really interesting to see, first of all, how long it takes for him to get back here, how he's playing, and what they do with that Four Nations face-off. Because, like, they're naming teams December 2nd. Like, it's in... I hope that he doesn't...
They're going to name him.
Of course they're naming him.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm just hoping...
And then you cross
your
fingers.
He's actually been named, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's one of the guys. Yeah. So, anyways, I'm not thrilled today. Not thrilled.
Equally distressing, David Kampf is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the IR.
Yeah. Yeah, on the IR, also secretive, also this one seems to be lower body. And so it seems not like an emergency. He may play Sunday.
Let's get thoughts on Kippers Clippers with Craig Berube on David Kampf and Minton.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, no, he's done a great job for us with penalty kill and situations, and yeah, we'll miss him. Minton's up here though. You know, smart player, you know, he was playing well in the minors, and you know, I think he's the right guy up here right now.
The sense is it's nothing specific happened the other night
with Kampf.
Yeah, with Kampf.
That's great.
Well, I'm just saying it sounds like more kind of an ongoing thing that he's been battling.
That's so much worse.
When's his flight to Czechia?
No. Like, he's got to go.
We'll find out about it midweek
Antarctica.
Out of the blue, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's also been a very hard camp. And it's like some wear and tear.
I see where you're going. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know what's interesting,
some of
though,
them are paying a price right now because Craig Berube has leaned on him from day one.
This is what everyone wanted.
In a program or a system that was not accustomed for that type. So there have been a few casualties.
It's interesting. Like Matthews, though, his like hits per game and takeaways in the early part of the season were way, way down right away. Like I don't think he was, I don't know how early or how long it's been bothering him for, but certainly seems coming out of camp that he was.
Yeah. Do they measure those in practice too? Because I heard, you know, a lot of one-on-one drills and a lot of physical activity.
Throw a puck in the corner down low for a little 2-on-2.
That's coming though, eh? All the analytics in practice.
Well, they have stuff. They
do. Yeah,
they
you're
wear
right.
Those sports bras and they measure heart rates and supposed to be able to tell that who is on the verge of injury and who's not able to push with as much force. They're measuring these guys.
Anywhere else you want to go? You guys, listen, Minton's interesting to me because he did not get a full camp because of the injury. Mm. He comes back kind of from everything you hear, may have picked up where he kind of left off a little bit.
You think they're real happy with him?
Yeah, there's no question that he would not be up here if they were not really happy with him. So there is a sense that the Leafs are looking or shopping or at least projecting that they will need a centerman down the road.
Right.
Could this guy be an answer possibly?
I'm going to go ahead and give you my playoff answer, which is no. And I have seen Fraser Minton, full disclosure, plays 0 minutes of hockey this year, but he would have to be so good for me to think that the Leafs could have a rookie center in their bottom six, handling big minutes, finishing checks, killing penalties. I just, am I out over my skis on that one? Am I going too far?
The way the league's built right now, I don't think you're way off on your skis. I think I agree with you in the it's not probable.
Yeah.
But
give me a 5% chance. How about that?
I get the thought that, like, we got to know for sure what we have internally before we start looking on the outside.
You know, the NHL slows down a little bit into the season. Like, the first 10 games, everyone's shot out of a cannon, trying to impress their coach. And all of a sudden, people start to get hurt. Things settle in. And the league slows a little. And you have stretches of plays where guys like McMahon score 7 times in 5 games and Holmberg has a... It happens. It wouldn't shock me to see Minton have a run of games in the next month or two where you're like, "Ooh, they have something here. They have a future player. This is a great player." I'm skeptical that he's the end-of-year solution. Not saying he's not a solution for them. Just saying I'm skeptical he's a playoff performer for them this year.
Once that calendar gets past mid-April,
all
the games tighten up and get a little
deals and
getting a little heavier in that first round of that playoffs, and you start worrying. So I saw this tweet from Kyle Cushman, who does some Marlies coverage, said that Fraser Minton has won his 5-on-5 minutes 6-2 and has a Marlies high 4.25 shots per game. Been really good coming back from injury and deserved recall. So he's been good.
That's great.
He's been playing well at the Marlies level.
Leading in shots per game.
Yeah.
Is wonderful.
So
in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Jason Buchla, of course. Does a terrific job on our show. He's Pro Hockey Group and Sportsnet's analyst, former NHL scout. He's going to give us his rundown of Fraser Minton and where he fits in, maybe short term or potentially long term as well. Now, not to rehash our Mitch Marner conversation from yesterday, because you know I'm still catching my breath.
Let's just do it in a more a different light today.
Okay. So you've heard me over a long stretch of time about how I thought Mitch could easily become a centerman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And much like all my takes on Mitch Marner, you guys roll your eyes.
No, I agree on this one.
This is not true.
I agree on this one.
I agree too.
Run the tape.
I agree that he plays center. Okay. I don't even know anymore. I can't even keep track. So our boy Sammy.
Yeah.
Sends a note to Luke Fox.
I texted our boy Luke.
You said, get on this because this conversation does not disappear on our show unless we get more from it.
And I will say, this is like, you know, I get a lot of DMs from people. The Marner center conversation is a very popular DM that I get a lot, and fans always talk about.
Like,
people
want to see it.
It's a very hot topic in Leafs Nation with him, especially with their center depth. So our boy Luke asked him, would you like to hear the clip?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, clip.
Seriously, if at all, have you thought about trying Mitch Marner at center?
I talked to Mitch the other day about it, actually. He said, no problem, whatever you want. He's smart enough for sure. I know he's played some D here, too, in the past, so I think he can play all positions. But, no, it's definitely an option if we need it. You know, I think he's a guy that can go in there and, you know, understand the positioning and what to do. You know, I guess, you know, you have to worry about face-offs a little bit and things like that. But he's definitely a guy that we can use there for sure.
Huh.
I got to think if Austin's out for a prolonged period of time, like, why not? Why not? Like, you got Tavares, you got still Max. Why not throw Mitch in the middle on a few different looks.
Listen, go ahead and run Tavares, Matthews, and Marner and Nylander. Yes.
Some non-Leafs breaking news.
I thought so.
But the Boston Bruins announced just now that Jim Montgomery has been fired and Joe Sacco will assume the interim head coaching duties. So there you go. So a Atlantic Division rival, feeling the heat of their bad start, has fired their head coach. So there you go.
Okay, we'll pick up on the Boston Bruins a little later on in the show.
National Hour.
Yeah. But in the meantime, where would you have him slotted?
Well, I would like to see – I want to see Nylander play center, too. Has he played center in a game yet? Like, all this preseason hype? Like, have they given him a game? So I'd like to see both of them have some run, have some opportunity to play center, and see if one of them takes to it. Now, we don't worry about Mitch Marner in the D-zone, positioning, effort, any of those
things. Because he looks like a centerman anyways, most often than not.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But, you know, the concerns are twofold, is battling big centers low, but also face-offs, as he mentioned. He's won one of his seven draws this year, and he's 44% career.
How many has he taken?
It's got to be 50 or something over the course of a career, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, I look down the center depth without Austin Matthews.
And David Kampf.
And David Kampf, I'm like, wow, he's probably the second best center on this team.
He for sure. Yeah.
Like, it's Domi is second line center. It's like you're not going to slot Marner in there, and it's going to be immediately better.
10 times better about Marner at center in the D zone over Max Domi.
Yeah, and you slide Domi out to the wing and you feel better about it. So, I don't know. Now that it's been asked and now that it's kind of a conversation, I bet we see it. And he's got more of the center's, like you've always talked about, he's got more of the center's skill set than Nylander does. So, just do it.
I've seldom seen a team that could have their essentially two best players play the positions but act like each other once the puck's dropped, meaning that Austin looks every bit of a scoring winger.
I see.
And
I
Mitch looks every bit of a playmaking centerman once the puck is dropped.
I mean, Austin is one of the best defensive centers in the NHL. Like, full stop, no wavering on that. He was it was him, Barkov, and Stahl, finalists last year for the Selke Trophy.
I would hear that conversation more in the offensive zone. In the offensive zone, I think Mitch is much more the center than Austin is, because he passes more to Austin, he defers more to Austin, that kind of thing. But I think they're like both really good defensively, and they're together.
To be fair, you're right.
Yeah, he's
but
good.
Offensively,
it's
the playmaking of Mitch and then the shooting of Austin. But I believe that once the pucks drop, there's no such thing as a typical left wing or centerman. It's fill the lanes, and you know, most often than not,
first guy back plays low.
But and Mitch is usually that guy. He's he's usually the third man high. It's not Austin.
Then let me ask, and I'm not trying to be, sarcastic. Then why? Why put him at center? Why risk him losing draws? Why, like, if he's just as good already defensively as a winger?
Yeah, I think that's a fair
just
point.
Why? And I'm like, you know,
if he's already doing it,
like, just to say he did it. I don't know.
Could Austin's back be potentially bothering him because of, you know,
draws,
wear and tear, draws, or you know, I'm just speculating here, but you know, if he comes back, maybe you start him on the wing.
But if he's a center, he's going to be making 16 mil.
I mean, he's not coming back. if he's coming back, Matthews, and he can only play wing and not take draws, he should not come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think for once, the Leafs should be the Vegas Golden Knights. And, like, you know, he comes back, he plays.
Buddy, it's November 19th. Yeah, come
back.
Joking.
I'm not. Come back, play for a month. Say your back's still bugging you. Take it the rest of the year off, get perfect.
I don't hate the idea of getting to the end of February, having a chat with Tavares and Matthews and saying, how's everyone doing?
How's the back feeling? Got to go to Germany again?
Yeah.
It's beautiful at Christmas time.
Yeah. Let's see if we can.
It seems to be the last team to try any of that.
To really go for it like that.
Wow.
And they're going to close this loophole. Like, they're already clamoring about.
What? If the Leafs did it, Gary's with his SWAT team kicking down the door of the Ford Performance Center.
Swinging. Be like, the Scotiabank Arena.
We're getting you. Like, if the Leafs did that move, if the Leafs
tree living's like
it's over.
If the Leafs did the Vegas move this year, in the new CBA, closed, done, immediately. And there's no question.
Anyway,
could have a Stanley Cup by then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I like the idea. I heard Brian Burke the other day talk about how, and someone else is suggesting that it's fine to exceed the salary cap in playoffs, but you can't dress an 18-man roster, 18 skaters, two goalies, 20-man roster that exceeds the salary cap. That in itself is silly, right? Like, you shouldn't be able to have $100 million worth of players that you can dress at once.
But when you can, do it.
What do you have on Berube talking about Mitch and Austin together?
It was just something interesting that they were talking about him shooting more, and then this was one of the follow-ups, one of the questions, and I thought it was an interesting clip that kind of is in our wheelhouse. So clip four, please.
It could be. I think, you know, anybody who plays with Austin is probably looking for him a little bit more than normal.
Yeah.
And probably too much at times, you know, in my opinion. You know, he's looking for JT, too, who's the scorer, right? So, in the end, you know, you make plays that are there, and when you have opportunities and good areas to shoot, you should shoot.
To me, when Matthews comes back, they don't play together.
Yeah.
I've just seen too much good for Mitch without him.
But we've done that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the ways they've tried to change things up.
I guess.
You like Austin and Willie?
No, I don't.
I just think they should be on three lines. I really do. You know, one strange thing is that with Matthews out, Marner's shots have not gone up at all. In fact, gone down and near the bottom of the team. Six shots more at 5-on-5 than Pacioretty this season, who has 130 fewer minutes. That's a Siegel thing.
Really?
So, you know, he's obviously producing. He's doing it different ways, but I don't know. I think you could have him on three lines and everyone would be just fine. And the team's probably better for it.
But would Nylander be playing third line center? Or yeah, in your ideal world?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's the option. But yeah. But I mean, it's like third line is what? These guys get thrown out there.
Max
the
and Willie. Either Max is on the wing with Willie or vice versa.
You're right. And then that's like kind of a middle six and you interchange them as you need. But all right. We should.
Hold on.
Oh,
I got a little read for you guys.
Okay.
Second day in a row, I'm going to try to nail this, so please bear with me, okay? Who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best thing this holiday season? It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan's 50-50 fortune-supporting food for kids, and here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more we can win. The current take-home prize is, let me check the website, $67,160. Someone is going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are a bunch of amazing early bird prizes, including a pair of tickets to see Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, this Saturday night, courtesy of Rogers, our beloved Rogers. Get your tickets by Friday at 9 a.m. for the chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590 and we'll send the link right to your phone. It's the 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and date rates apply. Ontario only.
Good job, Rogers. Good job, Sammy.
Thank you.
Good job, Sammy.
That's okay, we'll take a prize.
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
We'll take a quick break when we return Jason Bukala. And then at the top of the hour, it's Tuesday, Steve Valiquette, analyst with the New York Rangers on MSG and CEO of Clear Sight Analytics. That's what he does for me and JB. Clears our sight.
Yeah, and he does our job.
Does our job. More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys ready?
No, we're debating. Oh, my God.
Oh, what are you guys debating?
We're debating whether if Boston got one more point last year and Florida played Toronto in the first round and swept Toronto, if they would have blown up the core at that point.
Wow.
That's what we're doing
in the
breaks.
Just a small
chit-chat. You guys are the master debaters, that's for sure.
All right. Hey now.
Let's go to Jason Bukala, Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet, former NHL scout. Give us all the goods now that, first of all, you ever been to Germany before for anything?
Yeah, just once or twice.
Spent most of his time in Amsterdam.
What were you getting fixed?
I wasn't getting anything fixed, but after a few scouting extravaganzas over there, I probably needed to get fixed up a little bit, if you get my drift. So I've been there.
A couple of tough Oktoberfests.
So
it's Oktoberfest year round over there, unfortunately.
Listen, between Matthews and David Kampf not in the lineup, like, plenty of opportunity down the middle of the ice for players to state their claim as a centerman right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Minton's going to get a chance here. Nice little five-game set in the American League. You know, 2 goals, 3 assists, used in all situations. Really liked them, to be honest with you guys. One of the things I noticed when I broke down his segment was how much quicker he is in small areas. So, like, on the penalty kill, if he's working up top and he's got a pounce on the half wall, he's got an extra little bit of dart to him there, and he's getting there quicker. So it's not just like step out and use your reach. It's actually stepping out and fronting it, which is obviously really beneficial, because I don't think he's a three at his ceiling. So he's going to have to do really good things defensively for me. And I'll be curious to see what he does in the faceoff dot when he gets the opportunity. Steves can play in the middle too, if they want to insert him into the lineup. Steves is another interesting guy that I think has got a lot of upside and can be a Swiss Army knife for the group. So, yeah, there's some opportunity there, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue this trend. I read something today about maybe moving Marner to the middle, but please do not split up that line. I mean, Tavares, Marner, McMahon, that's going, and I don't want to see that broken up right now.
So what's the long-term forecast for Minton to be a contributor? We kind of opened our show with the question, could he be a playoff player for the Leafs this season? I know that sounds a little desperate, but they are a little desperate.
Yeah. Ideally not, I would say. You know, ideally not. Not for where they want to go as a team, like what their aspirations are. But depending on where they're going with their cap, I really like Duer. I think Duer can bring some energy. He gets to the hard areas, plays with pace, and gets involved. That might open up, if Camp is healthy or somebody else is healthy, some movement there where you can move a guy out and perhaps upgrade in the middle of the ice, Borny. Mm-hmm. But long term, you remember when Nyes arrived on the scene from Minnesota a couple years ago, University of Minnesota. I don't even know if Minton can do that offensively, but he can certainly, he's got the brain and the body to play in the bottom of the lineup. I'll put it to you that way.
It's just when you're talking about a team that has to compete for the Stanley Cup or even think that they can win it. It is rolling the dice with these kids, if not giving them the opportunity, or it's one thing to give them an opportunity between November and the trade deadline, but it's another one to say, yeah, we're going to go with them. And then it lends towards finding help from the outside, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look at, I know you brought it up, Kipper, a couple of weeks ago, the Brock Nelson type of player, like that's the ultimate at $6 million. How do you make it fit? You know, the Islanders are in the mix, but the Metro's tough. And I don't know what's going to happen as things playing out there in the wild card, but you know, he's in his last year. You know how Lou is on the island with his guys, though. He likes to extend them and keep them forever, it seems. He's got, but what I'm saying to you is that's the kind of player that I'm interested in. You know, God, like, can I even throw a Nazem Kadri into the mix? You know, just as a talking point here. The money's too much, but you understand where I'm going with it. So it's going to be too heavy a lift. Like, right now, the Minton's going to get a taste. 5-game sample in the American League is a nice little start, but it's a segment. That's all it is. So I'm not getting too high or too low. Let's see how he does when he arrives. But long term, after Christmas, everybody knows January, February, March, how hard the games get. And this team is going to be jockeying to maintain home ice advantage, I think, in the first round in the Atlantic. That's my guess. And we'll just see how it all planes out. But I'm not counting on these younger guys to be the difference makers come April.
Just before we move on and talk about some other guys around the league, a couple of Marlies questions for you. Have you got any thoughts on Nikita Grebenkin or Marshall Rafai, who are kind of two names that stood out for me watching training camp this year?
Grebenkin's been really good for me.
Yeah.
So Steves, Grebenkin, and And Steve Skrbenkin and Minton were playing together quite a bit lately. And he's been, you remember him in training camp, he's surprised with a little bit of pushback and, you know, drop the flippers in one night. He's not going to do that, but he was getting involved. He's been up to task. He's right at the top of the table there, scoring-wise with the Marlies. He's involved. He's on the plus side of the ledger. I really like how his trajectory is planing out. And he'd be the next guy up, kind of, for me, to be honest with you, if a winger went down or if they wanted to sneak somebody through waivers, for an example. Rafai, you know, he's another guy that, for me personally, it's a nice to have, not a need to have, as the team planes out in the back half of the season. Perhaps there's some value there outside the organization. Maybe it's a depth if you're going to go on a long run in playoffs, you're going to need a lot of depth at that position. Obviously, you're going to usually Stanley Cup contending teams go eight deep defenseman-wise come playoff time. His style of play, not sure that that's exactly a great fit, but that's just to be determined. We'll see how it goes.
We're talking to Jason Bukala, former NHL scout, now Pro Hockey Group and analyst for Sportsnet. So, Books, it didn't seem that far ago we were talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we're also mentioning that the cupboards are fairly empty. And where are we today with some of the names that you mentioned and the stocking up?
Well, it's still relatively empty. Like they don't have a huge selection of guys to on recall right now. But the good news is that the ones that they do have, the Mintons, the Grubankins, says I screw up his name here. These guys are, their trajectory is positive. So they're buying in on the player development model. So when they were delivered to player development, whatever the message was and whatever's going on, they're buying in. That's a real positive. On the back end though, Kipper, you know, if something, they're stockpiled on the top end right now. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Hakanpää. He looks like he can skate, but I'm not so sure long-term, you know, we'll see what happens there. Obviously they've got some veteran guys that, that they might be able to sneak around, you know, up and down that is, and from the minors, but they're thin on the back end as well. Cowan's on a run. Cowan's 51 games deep in the CHL. He's a week away from breaking the all-time scoring, consecutive games scoring, the Joe DiMaggio, if you will, of consecutive scoring at the CHL level.
How many games?
51 games with a point. 51 straight games.
Yeah. Good Lord.
54 is the record, I think. He breaks it at 55, something like that. So he's a week and a half away from that. That's positive as well. Hildeby's a nice story, right, down in the minors. But, like, we're talking about four or five guys. It's going to take some time here for Tree and his group to restock the cupboards there. But that's not where we are right now. Like, we're not in that cycle. We got to obviously acquire some draft capital when we can to take a swing at the plate. But they're in win now mode, which is, you know, they're not relying on that underbelly so much. But it certainly would be nice to have more than a couple of choices, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would be nice for the prospects that are on the team, like a Robertson type of guy, to chip in a little bit.
Well, that ship has sailed for me, guys. I'm sure you guys, it's enough already. I like the energy. I like the compete. It's such a delicate, it's a tightrope. Like his value, remember we talked about end of summer, no value, no leverage for contract. And then you get into the preseason, great preseason, but it's preseason games. Some night there's eight or nine guys on your opponent. You have to dress a minimum of eight vets in a game, whatever that's worth. Okay. So he goes off in the preseason, but now, you know, it's a depressed value all over again. What are you going to do with that?
Just for the record, I only ask you, about like stocking the cupboards, not as help coming up, but potential trade pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Who can we unload for value? We're selling the copper wire in here.
Are they more in demand than they were 2 months ago, 4 months ago, 6 months ago?
6-2-2-10. He's got 10 points.
Yeah. The problem with trading out the Leafs assets is that the guys that they probably want to move, they've got three or four of the exact same player. So if you're going to move Hirvonen, if you're going to move Robertson, if you're going to move Niemelä, I'm just spitballing through their roster here. You know, I don't know where the value is really. Like, you're going to hopefully move an NHL guy, maybe a Kampf. You know, I don't know if I'm buying on the other side of the fence. Here's the problem. I'm not loving what I'm getting back in return, and you don't have a lot of draft capital. So that's what I mean by them being in a tough spot. It's now, if you float Easton Cowan out there or Fraser Minton out there, like if you want to go down that road, then yeah, you're going to get a player in return that's going to have short-term value, and but you're going to give up something that you already don't have much of. But I guess that's part of the risk. If you think you're going to win it, go for it. Put all your cards in the middle.
Would you trade Cowan?
That's a topic for another day.
Remember we had the same talk? Remember we had this talk about Knies a year and a half
yes,
ago?
Yes, I did.
Yes, we did.
The three of us were sitting there. We yes. did trade Knies.
And, one of the great responses I've got from Kip on that was I was like, you know, Kip and Knies had a good game. And I was like, God, we were talking about trading him. And Kip was like, yeah, and they might have won had they.
Well,
you know, you don't know.
That's always the what if. And there was some talk about Chicago, right? Maybe Kyle Dubas floating him out to Chicago. Was there
Hagel and Fleury? Hagel? And Fleury for I think it was 2 first-round yeah. picks and Knies.
There you go. So anyway. Yeah. What
ifs? Hagel's right. pretty good, boys.
What ifs?
Are we good on Leafs?
Yeah, we are.
One other guy who's come up on this show quite a bit is old Connor Bedard, who, you know, we've talked about him for the Four Nations faceoff. Last night, I see Macklin Celebrini score an OT winner, his fourth goal of the year in 8 games. Connor Bedard has 3 goals in 18 games this year, 13 points. What are your thoughts on what's going on with his development early on here?
I didn't like his game in Vancouver the other night, homecoming game. So a couple of different things are standing out. Somehow, some way, we got to get better in the faceoff circle. I know that sounds like just a small thing, but starting with the puck when you're a skilled guy obviously matters a lot, right? Because if he wins a draw, somebody's looking to give it back to him and he can go on the attack. When you start your shifts with him at center ice right now, they're chasing the play more often than they have it. And like he's around 30% or something, guys, which is obviously horrendous.
You know, I can get him to 100 if they just let someone else take the face off.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Float somebody else in there and then let him just kind of wander, right? Because coverage-wise, he's okay defensively. Like he can cover down low and he can track up and down the ice. He's just been okay. But you know what? So Chicago just okay. They've got Donato's been okay. He's got 9 goals or whatever, and he's, you know, the best version of himself. You know, Foligno the other night looked like he was fast. Like Foligno looked like he was playing fast the other night, which was shocking to me. But Bedard, sophomore slump a little bit there. His handles haven't been as clean. We'll see. Am I overly concerned? No chance.
Is strength an issue here?
So the way that he is built, do you guys remember when Sid first came into the league? His upper body was, you know, he was a young man. But Bedard's built the same way. He's got a big rump and big legs. But the upper body and the long stick, so when he's defending and you don't have a ton of upper body strength, for me, if he gets into reaching situations or he's got to engage that way, yeah, like it is a little bit of an issue for sure. Again, you know, not surrounded by a lot of support, not enough secondary battle there in Chicago. That hurts everybody. You know, like you're going to be the worst part of your game can get exposed in a hurry when you're living on the margins and you're their best player. Like that's a heavy lift.
For sure. Just go back to the Leafs for one more question, because there's a guy we haven't seen a lot that has been in the league for a while, Yanni Hakanpaa, but I don't know what to expect for, so, you know, if he stays in the lineup for them, is he going to help them at this point? What is he to the Leafs this season?
I really like Hakanpaa.
You do? Absolutely. Okay.
I do. I like him a lot. I like him. He's got Brad Marsh offensive upside, but I really don't care. You know, like he's long, he's physical, he knows exactly what he is, and as long as he plays between the hash marks and keeps everything to the perimeter, he's going to be fine. I don't like the trajectory of Benoit's game so much this year, but I also believe that Benoit's capable of playing at least close to what he played last year, hopefully. So I just like the look of it. He is what he is. He's defined. He's not going to stray outside his comfort zone, Borny, and that's a positive.
Nice.
If you were still scouting right now and you had the book on a Stolarz in net, and I don't know whether you had a chance to trade for him or sign him and you didn't, are you waiting for that bubble to burst, or would you have said, I've seen enough and I miscalculated?
I've already seen enough right now to say that I have miscalculated, to be honest. I think he's already punched above his playing weight for where he is today. Like, I think he's much better today. When he first came to London, Kipper, he couldn't track, and he was kind of a hot mess in his crease, and it wasn't great to watch besides the big body. He was just huge. But I got to get him over 30 games before I'm a real believer here. Like, there's going to be a slump in here. There's going to be a week or two where everybody's going to be saying, uh-oh. And you hope that at that point that Wall can, you know, pick up the slack, or God forbid we hear a Murray coming back up, you know, something like that. There's going to be some things that are going to happen between now and the end of the year. But boy, oh boy, does he look good. And if I'm advanced scouting this guy, I got to get him moving as much as possible back and forth and get in his eyes as much as I possibly can. The good news for Toronto and Toronto fans is they've got some big boys on the back end who are more willing to box out and compete around their net. And that's great, because big body goalie like Stolarz, he's seen the biscuit.
All right, Book. Great stuff, man. Thanks for doing this.
Anytime, boys. Have a great week. We'll see you.
All right.
Thanks, Books. Appreciate it.
Jason
Bukla. See you, Sammy.
See you, Books.
Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet, former NHL scout.
Talking with him, I always think to check of, you know, rookie scores and see what's going on in the Calder Trophy race. Matvei Michkov is leading the league in points for rookies at 15 points, but we know it's not going awesome.
Yeah, sit him down.
You know, they're not loving it in Philly. Scratch it him. Sounds like a lot of, you know, power just play points.
Get this year the hot rookie out of the gate.
Eric Lindros? You mean Michkov there? Same guy?
Yeah, right, same guy. Logan Stankoven is second. You know, like, Lane Hutson has 0 goals and 11 assists. They like that Siplikov on Long Island, I know. Cutter Gauthier's got 8 points.
You're beating around the bush here. If it was, go back to the Leafs, and you asked him about Cowan. If it was, like, a big, you know, multi-year contract guy who became available, who was really going to help the Leafs, would you trade Cowan or Minton?
Oh, for me,
because I would trade Cowan.
Everything's 100%. On the table.
I would trade Minton for sure.
Yeah, I would trade either.
Yeah,
just okay. So you can find third line centers. For me, it's like I want to see what the team looks like.
It's got to be a.
Where are they in the standings in February?
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like they're going to be probably one or two or three.
Who's available?
Like every year.
Though?
I don't know. That's what
who's
I'm saying.
Who's available? Like
Ryan Donato. If not Ryan
stuff
Donato.
Always shakes out. Listen, as it goes.
We're gonna talk. We're almost wrapped up here,
yeah.
And we'll segue maybe into the National Hour.
Uh-huh.
But you know, big story today: the Boston Bruins fired their head coach, Jim Montgomery.
Mm.
Where are they? Where are they? Come February and March, Brad Marchand.
Oh boy, what a name you just dropped! I didn't even consider that. If they're out of it.
Cowan for Marchand? You heard it here first?
Saying, but
get away.
I'm just telling you that now, if in fact this thing goes south big time in Boston and Brad needs a new contract, he's not ready to shut it down. And Boston's not prepared to pay him.
I got a fun one for you. First off, the three teams who are worse in the league in goal differential are Pittsburgh, Boston, and San Jose.
That's the type of example that you can forecast to saying, if, what would we do?
If there's two UFAs available for the Leafs to sign at the same dollar amount at this end of the season, you can have John Tavares or Brad Marchand. Which one are you signing?
Well, one's won and one hasn't.
Yeah, one.
Yeah? Yeah. One's a center and the other isn't.
I plead the fifth. Probably Marchand.
All day long.
Yeah, buddy. It's Marchand. I don't want to offend John because he's had a good year.
He's doing great.
Good Leaf.
Everybody's scared to offend. Just say it.
I'd rather have Marchand.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
That felt terrible. Hey, what a bad
John's
way to
a
end
big
it.
Boy.
Yeah.
And he's got $100 million in the bank. He cares what you think.
He's having a kale smoothie right now. He's not listening.
He's loving life right now. Okay. Our thanks to Jason Bukla in our first hour. Plenty to dissect, including the hottest scorer in the NHL, down and out. We'll tell you what's wrong with Ovechkin.
Oh, we will?
What yeah,
we will. I got a little insight on that. Stick around.